Good afternoon. Today is Monday, September the 16th, 254th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the Bank Dude, Mr. Dolby. Hey, guy.
Once again, it is a joy to be with you.
Good. The obsessive personality has returned. Got a couple different things to talk about. This month, we're kind of featuring the buy local as a concept and how it can impact positively the economic, I hesitate to say health, the economic condition of our local area. So we'll spend just a brief time talking about that. And also we'll talk about John's obsessive personality and how that manifests itself on the job and at home. It's therapy session when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dolby. But before we do our quote this afternoon, now there are two quotes on this page that have not been used before. One is from Kermit the Frog. One is from Dr. Gonzo.
Well, I picked the one from Kermit.
I know.
You can read them both if you choose.
I'm looking
since it's your radio station, your show.
Yeah.
You're the host with the most.
I think I'm going to go with Dr. Gonzo then. Quote, is that a beard or are you eating a muskrat? A little something for the Northwest, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. We'll save Kermie for later.
And by the way, I'm not eating a muskrat for those people. That are.
Well, there was another Irma Bombeck one there that was close. Never go to a doctor whose office plants have died.
And, of course, Kermit the Frog said,
get your hand out of me.
It ain't easy being green.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. So, let's get the first topic out so we can deal with your obsessions in a more clinical, unrushed fashion.
As the radios across Humboldt County are turning
yeah,
off.
Well, actually, yeah, they may be tuning in to find out.
Yeah.
Voyeurism is a big deal. Yeah. And the folks in Mendocino and Delaware County are now quivering.
Yes.
He might be coming to our town. Help me. Concept, John, of buy local. We've kind of been featuring that the last little bit. I know you've got information that you share on a pretty regular basis that if you spend a dollar in a community, what happens to that dollar? What happens to that dollar?
Well, on average, it turns over 7 times, meaning that $1 spent adds $7 to the economy. Now, that's theoretical, but that's the best number that I've ever seen, or I haven't seen a study to the contrary, I should say. And beyond that, I mean, the ripple effect of creating jobs locally is crucial. And if we're not getting any help from the outside, so we really need to help ourselves by concentrating on using local contractors, using local people, creating local jobs.
The 7 times spend, is that independent of a locally owned business versus a chain business? As long as you're spending within that defined jurisdiction?
Well,
statistically, it stays 7 times?
I think that's a figure they use on average. And again, I don't know that it's a scientific study. I've never seen anything to the contrary, but it's bannered around by economists, and it is a general number, meaning it's not specific to Humboldt County. This is across the country. And so if dollars are spent locally, and you're talking about ownership of the store, there's not only the money that's spent locally, which means that the clerk you bought it from, and I'm using retail, but this goes across the board, is paid a salary, but if the store ownership is local, then the profits stay here, and those profits then are turned into purchases of goods and services throughout the county. So, on average, your question is, if you buy from a locally owned store, it's probably more than seven. If it's a locally or local retail, you know, chain, it's probably less than seven, but on average, you're looking at seven.
It's been interesting for me as we've been doing some of this over the years, the disconnect that a lot of people have. Either no factor at all as far as the decision-making, where to spend, or they'll get so wrapped up and realize that even if it's a nationally branded store, it's still a local store. Mm-hmm. Versus a locally owned independent store and all the permeations off of that. So you go to your branded restaurants, for example. Yeah, there's a national brand associated with it, but the guy working behind the counter is the guy that owns it. And those who say buy local oftentimes will pull away from that and say, oh, no, you don't want to, because a percentage of their profits may be going to franchise fees. Let me say that again. A percentage of the profits may be going to the franchising.
Certainly there's a difference between a corporate restaurant or corporate store and a franchise. And we do need to understand that a franchise, such as a McDonald's or a Burger King, generally those are franchises and those are locally owned and it may or may not be. I mean, they could be a franchise that's owned by somebody out of the area, which is is not all that uncommon because of the size of our market. But certainly those then qualify, in my mind, as local businesses.
What about the big boxes that are in the community? Do those, a lot of folks will push away saying no, and yet you look at the employment base and you look at what they're purchasing in local vendors, local services, things of that nature for that facility. You know, they have a roof. They're not going to bring in the corporate roofing team. They're going to get somebody who's local. Paving.
May or may not.
Well, typically, if there's a leak in the roof, they're not going to bring somebody in from Austin or New York City or wherever the corporate headquarters are.
Well, having worked for a big corporation at one time, I worked for a very large bank. When we had needs for our facilities, they brought in somebody from Sacramento all the way to take care of those needs. So there is a difference.
And we'll delineate that more when we come back. It's 3:19-ish.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, the concept of buying local, it's really kind of an interesting dichotomy. Yeah, I guess that could be a word, too. I like that word.
Dichotomy.
Dichotomy. I like that. We have to work with that one. Yeah. When you're talking about buying local purely because it's local versus buying and giving somebody a range, 5% to 10% kind of a range, which works to the benefit of the community? Having the local business that you spend with that has a captive audience market and takes full advantage of that in their pricing strategies, in their staffing, in their payroll, all that kind of stuff. Or perhaps saving 20 or 25%, but buying from one of the chains, leaving that consumer another 20 or 25% to purchase with other stores. which is there a better scenario?
Okay, you have various levels. So let's go through the worst case scenario for our local economy, and that is to buy something on the internet and have it shipped to you, or to go to another city and buy something. Okay, so that's purchasing completely out of the area. The next level would be buying locally, but maybe from a company or a business that's owned outside the area. And then, of course, the best scenario for the multiples of earnings in the community is to buy from a local business. The savings, I could try and make the argument that I'm going to save X number of dollars because I bought on the internet rather than buying from a local business. But the impact of those additional monies, if I spend them, is not going to be as great as it would be if the multiples of putting it through. So let's use the $7. So if I spend spend a dollar with a local merchant, I've created $7 worth of economy. Okay. If I purchase it on the internet and I save 25%, I now have 25 cents that if I went down and spent in the local economy would only turn over into $1.75 for the economy. So yes, it's still better to buy locally.
What about that local option that costs you twice as much?
Well, it's the same thing.
So you're choking off that other dollar that you'd be spending with somebody else you can't afford to because somebody is premium pricing because they don't perceive right. Or there are no outside competitors. Same scenario?
There's an assumption in your question that buying locally is more expensive.
Not routinely. However, there are those, and we know the players, who do take advantage of that and do hold the local economy hostage.
We have to also realize that there's been a major shift, especially in retail, in what's available locally. So, for instance, if we use a television set, at this point in time, there's very few locally owned businesses that are selling televisions. There are, I can think of a couple, but, they're highly specialized, high-end televisions sold locally. I mean, that's my perception.
I think we need to call them monitors now.
Yeah, whatever they are.
Yes.
So that particular market has migrated away from the local television store for the most part to
Dick Adams TV and appliances is gone because Dick is gone, but because the market has changed significantly.
It has shifted. And so no longer there are certain products you pretty much cannot buy locally from a locally owned company. If you work hard enough, you can probably find them, but it's most companies have specialized into certain areas, which they don't have to compete directly against a Sears or a Walmart or so forth. So we've seen a shift. And so it is no longer feasible to say, I'm going to buy 100% local, because there are certain products that you can't get locally.
And that's okay? That's just the marketplace?
I wouldn't say it's good, but it's the way it is.
Not good, but
it's the way it is.
It's the marketplace, yeah. Because I can't imagine too many folks would be able to survive.
Right.
Up against that scenario.
We've seen an industry after industry, we've seen the local merchant, the local locally owned business fade away to the larger chains coming in and taking over that business because of their buying power or whatever.
So how do you sensitize the market to that?
It's really difficult. And in fact, the generation that's coming up now is so desensitized to the relationship of working with a clerk and so forth that, they're used to being on the internet and they see something they want and boom, they can just push buttons and it appears at the door. And so they're less sensitive to that. And so it's really important that we, as adults, instill some of those values in the next generation.
KINS, News and Information Time is 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mr. Dalton.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Burns Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity. When you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Burns, get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Burns Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Burns Furniture.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, considering some of the different cultures that every business has, and I suppose every business, whether it recognizes it or not, does have a culture. Do we think about that? Do we think about that as an employee? Do we think about that as a customer? Do we think about that as a business owner? Do we think about that as a manager? The reason I'm asking is I read an article earlier this week that Prince, actually it was Saturday if anybody really cares, that was talking about Gen Y, now moving into management. But it's a different kind of manager. It's a 9-to-5 mentality. It's an entitlement mentality. It's a you have to because I am mentality. And it's changing the dynamics of lower and medium level managers and management relations with the company because of that. They didn't say narcissistic, but they kind of described it. Approach that they've had all along. You're good. Oh, the answer may be wrong, but you're still a good person. Yeah, and that scenario being played out, now coming into the business marketplace in positions of power. Not saying I don't like you, so I quit, but I don't like you, but you still have to work for me, and I want to tell you why I don't like you, and you still have to respect me. You know, what? So the pressures now on being an executive or management trainer have changed significantly. How do you incorporate that into the business models that we look for?
Well, first of all, I haven't encountered, but in a few instances, the attitudes that you're describing in employees. Maybe it's because we do a better job of selecting employees, or I don't know.
You may kick those guys to the curb.
Yeah.
But
somebody with that kind of attitude, certainly is going to bring down the culture of your organization substantially. It doesn't take but one person that has a really lousy attitude to destroy the culture of a fairly large organization. It's very easy to do. It's always easier to tear down than to build up, if that makes sense. But when it comes to culture one, you have to get a buy-in through the entire organization. So you need to have organizational clarity. This is who we are. This is who we want to be. And two, they have to buy into it, because the reality is if you want to create a good working environment, it takes every employee to do that. It's not something that you as the owner or the manager can say, okay, we're all going to get along. We're going to pull in the same direction and we're going to, have a positive work environment. Every employee every day has to make that decision. And they create their own work environment.
Kind of like their own little space bubble.
Exactly. Because I can't be there to make sure that, Betty and Sally are being kind to each other and saying positive words rather than negative words when they deal with us, each other. And then also the whole process of you have to be able to confront bad behavior and you have to have a model and a process to do so. And if you follow a good process for confronting bad behavior, you fix the behavior. If you follow a bad model, you just create more problems.
Or turnover.
Correct. So, we use at our bank, we have a model for all of those things. And we've had some challenges, right now, I would say we've seen some institutionalization of because of our growth, or where they forget what our purpose is. Why are we here? And so we have to remind, and we have to work on those things. But for the most part, if you just can't tolerate those types of attitudes, and changing one can be very, very challenging.
I would imagine the temptation is to execute a hostage and move on. But also has ripples and repercussions.
Well, look what our culture is creating. It's creating this mentality of victimhood and entitlement. I heard a statistic this morning that less than 50% of Americans are paying federal taxes today. That means more than half of the country is receiving more than they're generating. And that seems to be the mentality that we're working for towards, and that we're fostering. So finding, people that want to be productive and want to, carry their weight, not only have to carry their own weight, but now they have to carry the weight of one other person. that's a challenging, that's challenging to go into it and say, look, they've done some studies where people can make more money on welfare than they can if they took a minimum wage job. Well, scratch my head on that one.
Yeah. A lot of scratching on that one. So when you talk about trying to operate through that kind of an environment or maze, quagmire, whatever analogy you want, how do you steer the ship?
First of all,
good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back. Final couple of minutes. Looking for that pearl, that gem from John.
What it is? Let's talk about team. To see happen. So often, things like so and so when they're
a cohesive,
when things are slow in the store,
leadership team,
whether you're in charge of
all the managers,
whether you're in charge of a group,
simple
question: how do you create a cohesive team?
Did you tell them when things
are
slow
to sweep the front shelves?
Well,
no, they should just know. Well, it doesn't work that way. You've got to clarify your expectations.
Words and actions.
The first thing is you got to make sure.
So if I'm straightening the shelves or cleaning, I shouldn't expect if I'm the manager.
The whole idea that we go into a meeting and everybody's nice and nicey and there's no frustration.
If he's doing it, I ought to be doing it too.
No argument.
Just
yes,
through observation.
Everyone's going to have their own
style.
Most studies have shown that a cohesive team speaks their mind.
Notice that.
Yeah.
Maybe arguments. They may be heated.
As is every one of my managers that works for me. They all have a different style. So you have to.
But they also are pressing for resolution
so that they can be who they are.
So when they walk out of the room,
excel,
there isn't anything unspoken.
So
you've
got to have enough flexibility.
Got it out.
Some people are.
Now we're dealing with it.
And it may be
by doing.
I'm frustrated by something
and nothing can be done about it.
So forth. So you're going to have some differences to sort of say
that's okay.
Yes, you need to be
no dangling
lead by example, and that's
right.
All
so,
you have to do.
Right. So
you need to clarify the expectation.
And sometimes
but,
out of frustration,
my personal
I've had
believer that
managers come to me
expect somebody else to
do something.
This is very frustrating to me.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, bust your chops, John. I'll be in about 10:15 tomorrow. I'll see how you're doing then.
Right.
Yes, that doesn't carry a
so,
lot of water. To be continued.
But
.. Is that
creating
same bad time.
Organizational
same bad
clarity is
thanks
what
for coming by, John.
The concept.
We're Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out
and
make it a good day. Have someone else. See you tomorrow. Sounds like a good job description for the company.
Correct.
Not too much detail, but certainly enough direction.
And you want to be careful of, when you create that organizational clarity, because there is a cost associated with customer service. So you need to have an idea at what level you want to serve. And, having the best all the time does not necessarily bring it, go to the bottom line. But it needs to be appropriate for what your business is and what the marketplace is.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 morning mass and 12:30 Spanish mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:48. We're back. Final couple of minutes. Looking for that pearl, that gem from John.
Well, let's talk about team and building a cohesive, whether it's a leadership team, whether you're in charge of all the managers, whether you're in charge of a group. How do you create a cohesive team, and what are you looking for?
So this is a formal as well as a casual.
Correct.
Kind of team.
Correct. You know, the first thing is you got to make sure that people are sharing, that the whole idea that we go into a meeting and everybody's nicey-nicey and there's no frustration and there's no argument is wrong. And most studies have shown that a cohesive team speaks their mind. And there may be arguments, there may be heated debate, but they also are pressing for resolution. So when they walk out of the room, there isn't anything unspoken or any regrets there. It's like, I got it out, I said it, now we're dealing with it. And it may be that I'm frustrated by something and nothing can be done about it, but I said it. That's okay.
No dangling participles.
Right. So, there's feel-its and fix-its. And sometimes out of frustration, you know, I've had managers come to me or employees and say, this is very frustrating to me. I can't fix it, but I can certainly feel it for them. And with that, I guess we're out of time.
To be continued. ... Isn't that what they do on the TV shows?
Yep.
Same bat time.
Same bat channel.
Thanks for coming by, John. We've been Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.